Good morning, everyone. Morning, morning. If we haven't met before, my name's Riley. I'm part of the team here at True North, and I spend a vast majority of my time in our Mullaloo campus leading up there. And it is a privilege to be able to come together today in Meroy and share a word and seek the presence of God with one another. And I want to confess something. This morning, I was thinking to myself that I wasn't going to sing this morning because the last few days I was hit with a really strong case of the man flu, and I was laying on the couch for a few days, and I was thinking to myself, you know, I want to conserve my voice, ready to come and share the word. But can I tell you something? When you are in the presence of God with God's people, there is just something about the space that you cannot help but sing worship to God. There is something that when you know the love of God, when you know the grace of God and the joy that is found in Him, that there is something that beautiful that happens as the church gathers and lifts up the name of God. Amen? Amen. And that is what we are here to do. We are here to engage in worship, to engage in the presence of God with one another, to equip ourselves to be His people on that journey to live by love. That's what we're here to do. And as we engage in the scriptures, it's no different. This is an act of worship as we draw close to Him, as we're seeking after Him, we're believing in His scriptures. And just like when we come into space, and you know, sometimes it can feel like we can't not sing. If we allow it, we believe that the words of Scripture are alive and they are living. And that as we engage in the Scriptures, we can't not hear from God if we are open and willing to hear what He would want to speak to us today. My goal today is not that we would hear me putting together a good presentation. The goal of today, the goal of engaging the Scriptures, is that we would all leave with having God spoken directly to our hearts right where we're at today. That's the goal. And so before we do anything, I'd love to pray for us. Lord, we thank You that we can be here, gathering in this room and gathering online. And Lord, we thank You that we get to be Your church, that we get to freely worship You, we get to lift up Your name, we get to glorify You and who You are. And in this space, Lord, we acknowledge that every one of us has a different story, a different recognition of who You are in our lives. But there is one truth, that You are good and that You are loving, and that, Lord, You love each one of us more than we could ever comprehend. And so as we engage in Your scriptures today, God, we pray that You would speak to us where we're at, what we're going through, what we're challenged with, what we are feeling this morning, Lord, that You would meet us where we are, and that we would know that Your love and Your grace and Your hope and Your peace in these moments together today. In Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever found yourself in the middle of, say, like a project, and this could be, say, a DIY project around the house, or, you know, a job, you know, you're working for a client, or you're doing something, you find yourself project, whatever that looks like, but you found yourself in the middle of a project where you've thought to yourself, I'm done, like, I'm over this. I don't want to go on anymore. Has anyone ever found themselves? And I feel like we can all resonate with that a little bit. And I got a bit of a story for you. And if you've been coming along to Mullaloo at all in the recent year, you would have heard plenty of stories of my pain and struggles of my at-home renovations. And so earlier in the year, last year, I rebuilt my kitchen, and that went a lot better than the bathroom went, I'll be honest with you. That took 2 weeks, whereas the bathroom ended up taking like 5 months because I was doing it outside of work. Anyway, but I redid my bathroom myself, and for me, the goal is always, you know, get this thing done as cheap as possible. And if you want to ask me how cheap, I got it pretty good. I'm not going to say it now, but I'll tell you later if you come and ask me. But I had my bathroom renovation, and it was one of these things that it was like, I did face a lot of problems because I hadn't done any of it before myself. So there was tiling, there was like building stuff, there was like... I built a wall, I built a bath, I did like one of those Roman style baths, you know, the ones where you tile them in. You know, people are like, you're silly for doing that. I was like, nah, it's going to be awesome. So we did that. It's awesome, but it sucked. did some plumbing, did a whole bunch of things. And then, so it was right, I was almost at the very end of the job. I'd just spent a whole week tiling this bathroom, which, you shout out to the tilers, it's a bad job. And I tiled the whole thing, and I was just, it was the last final touches. I had to like put up a shower screen and put up my actual shower, and I had to drill a hole in the wall through the tile to put the shower pole up. And so the story is already there. I had to put a hole there, and what you got to know about this job is I did the plumbing myself. And so before drilling these holes in the wall, my dad said to me, he said, where are the pipes? I said, Dad, the pipes are down the bottom here. We're all good. We don't need to worry about the pipes. Don't worry about the pipes. And then here I am drilling this hole in the wall, and then there was just this moment where it was just like, and you get squirted with water. And you're like, I should have known better because I put the pipe in the wall. And can I tell you, this was one of those moments in this job where I was like, I've had enough. Like, let's knock the house down and start again. I am over this job. I don't want to go on anymore. I stood there. I looked at the hole in the wall. I basically cried. Like, it was one of those things where it was just so disheartening. My dad, he wouldn't even tease me about it. This is the kind of thing that my dad would like relentlessly tease me about, because I did also do this when I did my kitchen as well. However, I didn't lay those pipes, so that was just an unlucky situation. But this happened, and so then we had to go on to the other side of the wall, so we jumped to the next photo. It's a bit stretched, but you can see there, come through the wall, punched a hole in it. So we had to chip out the wall. Next photo, here you can see, I got a buddy, he's got a crimping tool, so he came. He's an actual plumber, so he helped me fix it. And so we got that done, and I'm going to be straight up honest with you, that's still how the wall looks right now. Because I'm telling you, I'm done. Like, I've had enough. I finished this in January, and I have not put my tools away yet, because it was one of those jobs where it's like, I am done. Like, I almost just went out and got a bulldozer and literally knocked the house down, because I was like, I don't want to go on any longer. Can anyone resonate with that? You've done a project where you're like, I feel you. I'm done. And I share this story because it's a trivial story. We can resonate with the frustrations of that. But I share this story because in life, we do find ourselves in bigger situations, in bigger challenges where we feel like we are done, where we feel like we don't want to go along anymore. We feel discouraged, and we have this feeling of, I've had enough. I want to check out. I don't feel like I can go on any longer. We are in this life going to face challenges and discouragements. And, you know, things where people might let us down, people close to us, and you know, that could be people in church, it could be this community of people. You know, sometimes people will let us down. We might feel like at times we've had unanswered prayers, or we feel like things happen that we just didn't expect would happen. We can have doubts and worries and general feelings of discouragement. And the scripture that we're going to be reading today, I think, answers this question. As a follower of Jesus, how do we deal with the moments in our life when we feel discouraged? Or we face moments where we feel like, I've had enough, like I can't go on any longer. And we're going to be reading the story of Elijah in the cave. And so if you know the Old Testament scriptures, you know the great prophet Elijah, and he does some pretty amazing things. And we're going to pick up his story just after he had just done something truly remarkable, truly amazing for God. He calls out the people of Israel. They'd gone astray. and he's a prophet, and he's mighty, and God speaks to him, and he does amazing things, and he calls out these false prophets. You've got the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah, and there's 400 of each. There's 800 prophets, and he calls them all out, and he says, hey, we're going to put our gods to the test. We're going to figure out who's the real, true God. And so he gets them together, and the 800 prophets get together, and they build an altar, and they put an offering on the altar. And the challenge is, whoever's God sends the fire down to light up this offering is the one true God. And so there's these 800 prophets of Baal and Asherah, and they're there, and they start doing it. And Elijah starts taunting him. He's like, you know, maybe God's on the toilet, basically. He's like, maybe God's asleep. And he starts taunting them. He's so sure of God and who God is, he could stand in front of 800 of these people and just taunt them. Even though he was vastly outnumbered, he knows that his God is going to show up for him. And so this whole thing happens, and they're standing out there. They spend the whole day trying to get the fire to come, and the fire doesn't come. And then Elijah, he builds his fire, and he throws water on the fire. He makes it so that there is no way to dispute how this fire started. He throws water on it, and then he calls. He says, "Hey God, I want you to show these people who you are." And the fire of God comes, and it licks up everything, including the water. And he proves who God is. He's just done this amazing moment, and then he kills all the prophets. And then he goes on, and there's a couple more powerful, mighty moves of God in him straight after that story, until we find ourselves here in his story. And so we're going to read along together in 1 Kings 19 from verse 1. And so if you have a Bible, you can turn with me there. If not, we'll read it together. It says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel." Now Jezebel is a mighty woman, and not mighty in a good way, but like she's powerful. She's powerful, and she's been killing off the followers of God. And Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them." Elijah was afraid. Fair enough. Do you think? If a queen lady is like, "I'm going to kill you, and I promise the gods that this is going to happen," you'd be scared. Anyway, he was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord. I've had enough." He doesn't want to go on any longer, he said. "Take my life. I'm not better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king of Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel, doesn't matter how many times you practice it. To succeed you as prophet, Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet, can I hear you say yet? Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him." And then from there, Elijah goes. He does what God has told him to do. And the stories continue to get fun and exciting. But this is a story where we see Elijah. He's feeling incredibly, incredibly discouraged. He could be feeling like, why is this happening after I've just done something so amazing for you, God? Why is there a repercussion? Why is this happening? And sometimes in the life that we live, challenges can come after mountaintop moments. And the people of God, they've let him down. The people are against him. He is scared and he is frustrated. And I think we can resonate with where Elijah is at. Those feelings where we're like, people have let us down. I'm not sure where to go. I've had enough. I'm feeling let down. And now this story is a story that is applicable for us as followers of Jesus in the context of doing ministry, doing the work of God. It also applies just in the context of, you know, when we face challenges and things that we, the posture that Elijah has towards God is a posture that we can learn from. See, Elijah's faith got him in this situation, but it's also the thing that got him through this situation. But following this story, we're going to see 5 ways to deal with discouragement. Can I hear you say 5 ways? 5 ways. So if you're taking notes, this is 5 ways to deal with discouragement. To answer this question, how can we deal with these moments in our life where we feel like we've had enough? The story tells us he finds out that, you know, that Jezebel is after him. She's promising to kill him, and he's scared and he's frustrated. And he goes out on his own. He's feeling extremely discouraged and angry. He's feeling like he's had enough. So the first thing he does, the first way to deal with discouragement, is he cried out to God. He bared it all before God. He showed God the rawness of his soul, the rawness of his feelings and his emotion. He didn't hold back. He didn't try to, you know, look good on the outside. He bared the truestness of himself, the challenges in his heart. He bared it all before God. He got raw before God. He cried out to God. The first way we can deal with discouragement in our life is just to simply cry out to God. Sometimes when we find ourselves in this place and we need to do that, we need to there's an important distinction here with Elijah. He cries out to God. He doesn't cry out at God. He's not angry at God for the situation that he's in. He doesn't cry out at God. He cries out to God. He's not blaming him. He's crying out to him because he knows that God is the only thing that can truly sustain him through this challenge, that can truly see him through to the other side, the thing that he can only truly hold on to and rely on. He cries out to God. We got to cry out to God. We've got to bare our soul to God. We've got to be real with God. And sometimes we can think, I need to get my stuff sorted. I'm just going to muscle this thing through and figure it out, and then I'll go to God. Because, you know, maybe I think that my problem's not big enough for him, or maybe I think I can do it all in my own strength. Sometimes we feel like we've just got to hold it all in. And we're all capable of that. But I also want to just mention to the men specifically, this is, statistically speaking, a more common trait that we will hold stuff in. Elijah's a bloke and he cries out to God. It is okay, it is good to bear our soul before God, to bear who we are. Maybe we're angry. Maybe we don't do this because we're angry at God because of something someone else did to us or a situation we found ourselves in. But we have to remember that God is good always. And God can be relied upon. And we can come to him with our greatest struggles in their rawest form. We can cry out to God. God, I'm struggling. God, I need you. God, I'm sorry. God, I'm angry. God, I'm hurting. God, it feels like it's too much and I don't know what to do. Whatever the challenge is in our heart, we can and should bear it before God because he knows what's there anyway. Cry out to God. That's the first stop, first way to deal with our discouragement. But then he cries out to God and he lies down under the broom bush. And angel comes along, wakes him up, says, eat, drink. And he cries out, and then he passes out, basically. He cries out, and he passes out, and then he gets woken up, gets some food, gets some water, has another nap. Wakes up, has some food, has some water, and then gets going again. Now, Elijah, he's dealing with challenges. He's dealing with hurt. He's dealing with the stuff that we can see is troubling him. And what we can see he's done is he's neglected his physical needs. He's left his servant. He's gone on his own, a day's journey into the wilderness. He's passing out under the tree. He's not looking after himself. He's neglected himself. He's too tired to even react so that there's just a random meal there and an angel that showed up. He's too tired to talk. Before he could continue, he needed to deal with his physical needs. That's step two. Way number two, tend to your physical needs. Can anyone resonate with that? I know I can. When I'm going through challenges or when I'm going through hard stuff, I forget to look after myself. I'm the first one to say, you know, if I'm feeling stressed, if I'm feeling worried, that's when I'll start eating bad. That's when I'll stop exercising. That's when I'll stop going to bed on time. That's when I'll throw all the good stuff for my physical health out the window because I don't know why we do that. Why do we do that? Because we're trying to comfort ourselves. And we think that that's going to help, but reality is it doesn't. We can forget that we are created beings with physical needs. And our physical health and our physical standing has a huge impact on our mental and spiritual health. And that's why, you know, that's why when we get the great commandment to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, it's the wholeness of who we are because they all work together. That's why it's important. And so if we're going to deal with the challenges in front of us, we need to tend to our physical needs. Is there any physical needs that you're neglecting to deal with at the moment? And now after that, we see he goes on a journey, 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. And he got to the cave and he spent the night there. And what we can see is Elijah, he needed to hear from God. Like he was desperately trying to make sure that he could hear from God. So what he does is he positions himself to hear from God. He goes on this journey where he knows this is to a place called the mountain of God, to a place where he knows that the presence of God is, that he will hear from God, to a place that he couldn't not hear from God. And this, where he goes, is very likely to be the same place that Moses went to meet with God on Mount Sinai. It's believed that this is likely to be that same place where God passes in front of Moses, if you know the story. And the third way to deal with discouragement is we need to position ourselves to hear from God. See, Elijah, he needed to go somewhere to hear from God. He needed to actually put himself in a place where he would hear from God. And the beauty of Jesus and reading this through the lens of the New Testament is we know that we receive the Holy Spirit, that no matter where we go, no matter what we do, we can hear from God. So we don't have to go to a physical place to guarantee to hear from God. We can hear from him wherever we are. However, we do still need to position ourselves to hear from God. You know, I've definitely been guilty of wanting to hear from God on a certain topic or a certain thing, but then kind of doing nothing about it. It's like, I'm processing this thing. I'm just waiting to hear from God, and I've spent no time actually seeking him on it. So to position ourselves means, one, to be reading scripture. This is the primary way, the majority way that God speaks to us is through his scriptures. Because we believe that the word is living and it's active and it speaks to us and where we're at. And we know we can learn about the heart and the character of God. And so when we're facing challenges and discouragements and bumps along the way in the journey, we know that it's the scriptures that guide us, that speak to us through his Holy Spirit. So that's one way that we position ourselves. But another way is we choose who we're talking to and what we're talking about. That's one way we position ourselves. There's mentors, people that we trust, people that have been further along in the journey, or people that have been through similar challenges to what we're going through. We speak to the right people and allow God to speak through people to us. To be in church regularly is positioning ourselves to hear from God, because God speaks in this space. We worship him. We engage in his scriptures. We spend time with his people. This is a hot spot for God to speak to us. So being in church regularly allows God to speak to us more. It positions ourselves for that. And doing things like Bible studies and journey groups is a great way to constantly be journeying, to be able to hear what God might be speaking to us. To deal with the discouragements and the challenges we face in life, we need to position ourselves to hear from God. Then from there, he's in the mountain, and then the Lord comes to him and says, go stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. See, Elijah he's cried out. He's tended to his physical needs. He's positioning himself to hear from God. But the next thing that he needed to do is he needed to discern the voice of God. He needed to discern what was from God and what wasn't. It says the Lord is going to pass by. The Lord's going to come and speak to you. And then the wind comes and rips apart the mountain. But God was not in it. A fire comes. An earthquake comes. But God is not in it. He's in the still whisper, the gentle whisper. So now we know, we can see Elijah, he is desperate to hear from God. He's got no other options. He's got no other alternative. It's all he wants to do. He made this journey because he needed to hear from God, and it wasn't in those things. It was in the whisper. And it would have been so easy for Elijah to think that those big things were God. In Old Testament scripture, we see stories of God doing powerful moves with the environment. We see these things. And so it would have been so easy for Elijah to be, oh, that's God. Yeah, sounds good. But he still needed to discern the voice of God. We need to discern the voice of God. When we're desperate to hear from God and trying to overcome challenges in our life, it can be so easy to read into things. It can be so easy to put the sticker of God on the things that are happening around us and think, oh, that must be God. Sometimes we can run to big decisions to try to solve our problems, like a new car, a new house, a new job, a new relationship, some big grand gesture. We think, oh yeah, God must be in the big things because it's a big God and we have to just, you know, that must be it. That's not a bad thing that we do that. It's quite natural that we would think the big things are big God things. Or we look to big things and we think, and we have a confirmation bias when we read scripture. We have an idea in our head. And I'm being honest because this is something that I've definitely done myself. And we're like, I feel like God's leading me this way, and so I'm going to read everything that points me in that direction. And we develop a confirmation bias of what we think it is. Or sometimes we just feel so discouraged because we're waiting for God to spell it out in the sky. But once we've positioned ourselves to hear from God, we need to discern the voice of God, and that takes being patient and waiting to see if something passes. The wind comes. Elijah lets it pass. He can see that God's not in it. We got to see when things come up and we think, is God in that? We've got to let it settle and see, is God in this? Is he confirming this thing? We test it. We test it against the scriptures. Does it align with the heart of God? Does it align with the will of God for my life? We allow God to confirm things through prayers, through scriptures, through words from other people. We seek wise counsel. Sometimes when we've got challenges, we've got decisions to make, we've got things to overcome, we can't figure it out, and we got to seek wise counsel. We got to speak to people who can be the voice of God, and we can discern that way. Now, this is probably the hardest of the five steps because it takes time, it takes practice, and it takes patience. It can be incredibly challenging not to try to run ahead of God, but we got to remember something. Our God is not in a rush. He is the eternal God of the universe. He's not in a rush. He's not hurried. He's never hurried. Watch Jesus in his life. He's never hurried. He's walking. He's interruptible. He's on a journey. We're on a journey. We've got to trust that God's not in a rush, and we need to sit with things and discern what is God and what isn't God and not be in a rush. So God renews Elijah's calling and his vision, and he sends him. And he says to Elijah, I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. Elijah, at the start of this, he says, God, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one who's following you anymore. Elijah thought he was on his own. He thought that there was no one else that he could do this journey with, and he forgot his community. But even the great Elijah, the great prophet of the Old Testament, who heard from God directly, needed God's people to live out this journey. He needed his community. He needed to engage his community. Number five, engage in community. Some of us might think that we're lone wolves, but the reality is if the great prophet Elijah needed God's people, we all need God's people. We need our church. We need our community to walk this life out, because this life has challenges. It has discouragement. It has great highs, but it also has great lows. And we together in community bear one another's struggles, bear one another's challenges. We support one another. We serve God together to bring his kingdom to earth as it is in heaven. We ride the waves together. To deal with discouragement in our lives, we need to engage our community. I invite the team to come up, and we're going to take communion in a moment. Am I doing that? Michelle, am I leading communion? Yeah, cool. I thought I was, I just needed to confirm. So how do we deal with discouragement and struggles? Well, step one, we've got to cry out to God. We've got to bear it all. Bear all those challenges, all the rawness of our soul before God, because He can handle it. Not everyone we talk to will be able to handle the rawness of our soul. He can handle it. We're to deal, tend to our physical needs, position ourselves to hear from God, discern the voice of God, and engage in community. This is a way, five ways we can deal with our challenges and discouragement in this life. You know, and today, we're going to create some space. We're going to take communion in a moment. We're going to sing another song. And as we do that, if you're here today and you're feeling like, I just kind of need to bear this before God. I want to bear my soul before God. Can I encourage you? You've got space to do that as we worship. You can bear it all before God. You can worship Him with an open heart and an open hand. Say, God, I am here and I want You to meet me right where I'm at. But also we've got a team that would love to pray with you, pray to help you to do that together in community and just bear that before God, whatever the challenge, whatever the discouragement may be. And as a church, we're going to take communion together. And as we take communion, what's beautiful about this is we remember that although we face challenges, although we face struggles, we have a God who bared it all for us, who endured the worst of humanity so that we might be able to draw closer to Him. That by the power of His Holy Spirit, we don't need to go to a mountain somewhere to be able to hear from God, that in this moment, by the power of His Holy Spirit, He can speak directly to our heart and to our soul. And I want to encourage us. I don't know where you're at, and I don't know what challenges you might be facing today, and I don't want to be overly prescriptive on how to carry these things out, because I think as we talk about them, we all get ideas, we all get ways that we can do these things. You know, we could engage. What would it look like for us to engage more in community? Engage more as part of this community. What would that look like for you? And you might be here today and wondering, what's this all about? I'm not even sure if I believe in any of this, and that is okay, and we're so glad you're here. You belong here. And we'll want to invite you to Alpha that starts this week. Alpha is a space where you can come and you can ask questions and you can wrestle with things. You can see what others' perspectives are. Alpha is a thing where you come, and it's for people who wouldn't call themselves a Christian. So if you're in this room, you're like, I wouldn't call myself a Christian or a believer in Jesus. You, Alpha is for you. And you get to look at these things and ask, is there really a God that I can bear my soul to? Is there really a community of people that are going to ride the challenges that I have in this life? Is there really a people that would do that with me? Is there really a God that I can hear from that cares about me, that knows about me? Well, we believe there is. And we want to invite you to try Alpha. But I think as we unpack these things, we all know ways that we can, that these can play out in our lives. And so I want to encourage you today as we take communion together, let's allow God to speak to us where we are. And let's allow the presence of God to fill our hearts. So I invite you to stand to your feet, and I'm going to pray. God, we thank you that you are good. That you are good always. And we thank you, Lord, that today, as we engage in your scriptures, we are reminded that we can come to you with our challenges. We can come to you with our discouragements. God, we thank you that we can bear it all to you. We thank you that you've created us as physical beings and we can tend to our bodies. We thank you that we can come to you, that we can hear from you, that we've got a community of people that we can journey with. So God, today as we continue to worship, as we engage in communion, may we be reminded of your love and your grace that was poured out for us on the cross. And may you show us the steps and the ways that we might step through the discouragement that we are facing. Pray all these things in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Come forward as you're ready.